If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
History tells us that the pool was near the sheep gate. The sheep gate was where the people who were coming in to worship and offer God a sacrifice, they would push their sheep through the gate. It was too big for a human, so they would have to push the sheep down and slide them through. And sheep are so stupid, wherever you put them, they just stay. They're not like goats who wander around. That's why the Bible says that we like sheep, we've gone astray. Yeah, because we go away from God and we stop wherever the devil plants us. We started out just trying to investigate the sin. Now we live in there. All right, you tried it. It ain't what you thought it was. Come on back home. You got involved with somebody who really doesn't love you. They say they do. They think they do. They're in love with the idea of you. Leave them. What's love got to do with it? It's a secondhand emotion. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? And so the man's laying there near the sheep gate. The sheep gate were brought in for sacrifice. So here comes Jesus, the Lamb of God. He can't come through the sheep gate, but he walks up to the man near the sheep gate. And so when he sees the man, now the text says it was five porches. And porches are colonnades. It's like those pop-up tents you buy from Walmart that you put on the picnic area where everybody sits under. That's a colonnade. It's just five little porches like that that covered everybody as much as they could. The history of the text tells us there were about 275 people laying there at any given time, and only one person, Lord have mercy, I need you to hear the text. It says that when the water was troubled, and the troubling of the water, let me tell you, you geological people, the troubling of the water came from an underground fissure that produced the pressure that caused the water to bubble. And because they were so desperate for healing, they said it was an angel troubling the water, when really it was just the release of gas from the earth. Let's just say, the rule said, the history said, only one person could get to the pool when the water bubbled. So out of 200 and some odd people, they're forced to watch one person get to that pool. What's interesting is somebody's taking this man home every day, and they're playing a cruel trick on him. They keep placing him further and further away so that he needs help to get to the water. Why didn't his family or his friends put him right up front? Why didn't they get there while it was dawn, before anybody else got there? Why didn't they bring him, say, well, when the water's troubled, just roll out? People don't want to help you. People do not want to help you. They want to keep. Maybe these people were professional carriers. Maybe they were the Uber of the day. Maybe he had to call them to take him home every day. All right, it's 3 o'clock. The angel has come. Come get me. And maybe they were being paid. But they weren't getting him healed. Why didn't they just sit there and put him in the water and say, just stay there till it moves? No, because folks don't want you to be delivered. They want you to stay victims. They want you to hold on to their pain and your pain. They want you to walk in the darkness that has gripped your life and your mind, thereby robbing you of your joy that is yours by birthright. So every day this man was laying there, every day, yearning. And that's what the man is surrounded by. He remembers what it was to walk. He remembers all of the things that he's trying to get back. Some people are telling him he'll never do it again. Others are saying, what you doing here? Why are you here? His family keeps bringing him back, enablers. They keep bringing him back. They have no faith. But one day, Jesus finishes prayer. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So while he's in prayer, God says, go to the pool of Bethesda. Yes, Father. There's going to be about 270 people there. Father, you want me to pray for all of them? No. Just the one that's been there the longest. Okay. Come on, guys. Where are we going? Don't ask no questions. Okay. He walks through the gates of the city. And there he sees a sight that maybe he's recognized before, but never paid as much attention to it because he never did anything before. He walks up to one man. How does he pick him out? I only do what I see my Father doing. That comforts your heart because that means whatever's in your life, God already saw it. He knew it wouldn't kill you. So he let it come. Jesus walked over. The man's laying there. Why is he there? He wants to be healed. He walked up and said, do you want to be whole? I think sometimes Jesus stirs up our faith by asking us stupid questions. Bartimaeus couldn't see. Blind as a bat in the middle of the day. Because bats can't see in the daytime. Blind as a bat in the middle of the day. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus turned. What you want me to do? See if I can think about this. How about a new pair of shoes? How about some food? No. But he longs for specificity because that represents faith. He said, Lord, that I may see. He walks up to the man. Do you want to be whole? You can tell Jesus was on a time schedule. When he's got time, he'll argue doctrine with you. He'll go and talk about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He'll quote scripture when he got time. But when he's on a mission, he said, do you want to be whole? Man said, I don't have nobody to put me in the water. Get up. Got no time for this. Get up and pick up your bed. I don't have no time to stand around here and argue the mechanics of me speaking to your parasympathetic nervous system and encouraging you to get up. I don't have time to explain to you that I've just told your brain to kick into your spinal cord and energize your muscles and get everything moving. Just get up. You're waiting for a healing. I came with replacement parts. Here you're sitting at the dealer waiting to get your car serviced, and the salesman walks out and says, is your name Eric Lambert? Yes. Are you here for service? Yes. Well, you're the 75th person. We got a brand new car to give you. No, I came for service. Don't give me the new car. Fix my look. They got the wrong brother. You mean you got a new car for me? Yep. It's better than the one I got for service? Yep. Let me get my stuff out. As a matter of fact, leave the stuff in the car. Just give me the keys. That's what Jesus was saying. You're sitting here waiting for an angel when the healer is here, when the God that you pray to is here. How many times are you going to wait to be touched by a man when Jesus? You've been here long enough. Waiting for an experience when God came to release what is in you. Jesus said, now pick up your bed. Why I got to pick up my bed? It wasn't a big bed, you know, with a Mattress King mattress. It was just a little mat that you roll out, a little bamboo mat that you roll out so you wouldn't touch the concrete or the grass or whatever. And Jesus said, pick it up. Why? Because if you leave it there, you're going to be tempted to go back. But when you carry it, you'll be sending a message that you don't need it anymore. Let God move things to show you that you don't need them anymore, because you are valuable based on who you are, not what you have. You've been here long enough, sitting by the pool, waiting for a touch. When the toucher is in you, let him out. What I find extremely interesting about that story is that Jesus didn't pray for that man. I challenge you to go through the Gospels and find the miracles of Jesus and make particular note to everyone he healed without touching. Make a note of that. You will notice that all he does is release what is already there or connect with their faith that has been spoken. Everybody doesn't need a touch. If you've already been touched, you create your environment by the words you speak. Listen carefully as I close. You are not lying to say all is well. That woman in Elisha's day, her son died. He was up in a bed, dead. She ran downstairs, told her husband, get me one of the servants and have him saddle me an ass and take me to see the man of God. The husband said, it's neither new moon nor Sabbath. Why are you doing this? She said, it's well. She didn't even tell him that his son was dead. She's riding and she told the driver, don't slow down. Get me to see the man of God. Elisha saw her in a distance. He said, Gehazi said, yonder is that Shunammite woman. And Elisha says, is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? She said, it is well. She didn't lie. He was dead, but it is well. Jesus is looking for people who will speak beyond the situation and resurrect it in their minds before it's resurrected in the flesh. Your healing can come back to you if you see yourself healed and speak your healing and stay in faith regardless of what the situation is, regardless of what the doctor says. Stay in faith and say what God says, because if God said it, it will come to pass. Give him a hand clap of praise.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1318P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.